I have Dollop tour dates to announce for the year 2024 of our Lord J-Town. We have our 10th anniversary show coming up in Los Angeles on April 27th. Guests are Karen Kilgariff and James Adomian. And then we are going to Australia starting on May 13th in Perth, May 16th in Sydney, May 18th in Brisbane, May 20th in Canberra, May 22nd in Melbourne, and May 24th in Adelaide. You can get your tickets at dolloppodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. Remember Dave?
Hi.
Yeah. Thanks for wearing masks. We know that people hate that shit. But
it's better than what is the alternative.
Yeah, which is... How's our van holding up? Our van is... Van's awesome.
Ass. Okay, and we don't have to fly. I don't know if you guys experienced flying lately, but it's...
Well, it takes the same amount of time to drive from Los Angeles to Milwaukee as it does to fly nowadays, which is great. And
really
you have
fun.
Your bag, which is helpful because you know where your stuff is. But the van's great. Well, it's great to be back. Thank you, everybody, for coming out for real. It is awesome. It's a damn pleasure.
So I've decided not to do a dollop tonight, and I'd like to actually just talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good.
And Milwaukee.
You're listening to the dollop! This is an American history podcast. Each week, I, Dave Anthony, read a story from American history to my driver.
Gareth Reynolds, who does so much more than just drive a van, but still missed a deer in a harrowing moment. No idea what the topic is going to be about. You drive too, so it's not... You also drive.
I don't.
No.
January 31st, 1881. Year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who?
No. Stay on topic.
Agostino Antonio Fulvio Giuliani was born in Vignanello, a small town northeast of Rome. It's a spicy meatball, no. Huh?
Okay.
It's an all-Italian accent.
Oh, no. There's some real ones here.
It's an all-spicy meatball.
Oh, no.
Augusto was the fifth child of Serafina and Emma, but would be the only of two to live beyond five.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What a...
That's why you didn't give them names.
Yeah. We'll call you a four.
We'll call you a maybe. His dad died when he was nine.
Oh, Jesus. So...
Yep. It's a fun house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Augusto got his education in monasteries and public schools. His family for generations had held prominent Roman Catholic positions, including archbishops and cardinals. And August took his vows in 1902, and he was ordained as a priest on September 20th, 1903.
Nice.
Yeah, it
awesome.
Is nice.
Yeah.
So far, it's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story about a pious boy who outlived everyone in his family.
That's right. That's right.
Everyone around him died, and
one.
Why wouldn't that make you think God has a plan?
So he moved swiftly up the ranks. He was a secretary to a bishop. He was a seminary teacher and then the superior of the Carmelite friars in Toronto.
In Toronto?
Well, T-A-R-A-N-T-O.
Oh.
You can say it the way you want.
Okay, yeah. Well, okay, yeah. I feel like we've shifted gears. Like at some point he went to Canada. Okay. Toronto.
And then suddenly he bailed and became a Protestant.
Hmm. He must have found that secret door. He's like, oh, what's going on?
He said, quote, I saw a bigger light.
It's going to be a long night.
But one time he was questioned under oath later, and he was asked...
I'm sorry. Hello!
And he was asked why he left the church, and he said, quote, I was not driven out of the Catholic Church because I was convicted of rape upon a parishioner.
This has, like, a Tarantino editing vibe going on in it right now. Like, this is, like, True Detective now. Like, wait, what? He's smoking with a mullet? What? What?
Well,
he was a cop a moment ago.
They asked him why he left.
And he quickly...
I didn't rape anyone!
He said, not a rape. I'm sorry? I didn't, why don't you finish your question, huh? I'll let you lead, huh?
Turns out he was actually excommunicated from the Roman Catholic Church.
Oh, okay. So they were like, get the fuck out of here. And he was like, I quit. I'm not going to do this any longer.
Yeah, the Protestants will take me. Huh?
Yeah. Okay.
So he switched teams. By 1910, he was preaching in Rome as a Protestant.
Okay.
He met American missionary Catherine Eyrick, who was an evangelical Methodist from America.
That's all these little sects are so...
good.
Yeah. I mean, but I'd always... I'm just... how hard is it to just be like, yeah, there's a fucking man in the clouds. Can we just... do we really need to mince all the, like, little shit?
Yeah.
Okay. It just seems a little, you know, nitpicky to be like, no, no, no. You can't drive on Saturday.
You can't. I mean, that's... So she was working on trying to convert Catholic Italian immigrants to Christianity in Milwaukee's Third Ward. At the time, Italians were a very isolated community in Milwaukee. Historian Michael Denning said they were the most isolated ethnic group ever recorded in the United States.
Well, what was he smoking?
He was smoking history?
Sure. Okay. Okay, so the Italian, I mean, is
the Italians here...
It was a real Little Italy.
Yeah, like they cool. They didn't go out. They were just inclusive.
They were just like, you don't want to leave. They do a weird stuff once you leave the Third Street.
There's a Polish out there.
Yeah. The first guy to leave was the pepperoni cannoli guy. He was the first one. He's like, I went out there with a cooler, a pepperoni, a cannoli. What happened? They bought it from me. They was a shit-faced. R.I.P. to a goat.
He said that the Italians simply do not switch and leave the Catholic Church. That's just not something that was happening back then.
Right.
I'm sure now, all the time. But
sure, yeah. Oh, it's not as hot as it was.
Catherine also hated Catholic beliefs and practices.
Sure.
So she was 35. August was 29. He changes his name to August.
Okay.
29. She told him about her Milwaukee missionary work, and he said he wanted in.
Okay.
He's like, let's fucking do this.
Sure. So that's a quote.
Yep. Let's fucking do this shit.
Nice. The quote changed a little bit, I noticed. There.
I'm going to fuck the shit out of the Third Ward. Is what he said.
Okay. It's again a quote.
Like a spicy...
No, 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 no. Nope. Nobody ordered that.
On December 11th, 1910, he boarded a ship for America, and within a few months, August and Catherine were married.
Nice.
So he wasn't coming here to convert Italians. He was coming here...
He heard missionary, and he was like, yeah. That's my favorite way to come, too, huh? Oh!
What about if we go down to the Third Ward and do it the back door? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You said it, but it is amazing to just be like, I'll attach my woo to that. Woo! Ain't no sex! Yoo!
So he starts preaching in Milwaukee and was ordained a deacon in 1912.
Okay.
Now, August stood out amongst the Italians in the Third Ward. So his ancestry was from northern Italy. He had light brown hair, blue eyes, and a fair complexion. And it also didn't help he was trying to convert all the Italians to being a Methodist, so he is despised in the Third Ward.
Because he doesn't look Italian.
Most of the people in the Third Ward are from southern Italy, so they're dark skin, dark hair.
Right,
and
they don't like his blue, right.
Yeah. So he would give sermons on street corners.
Sure, right.
Now he's adored by
some people are still doing that, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. He's adored by his own followers, his own flock.
Okay.
And then his choir started holding weekly revivals, singing and preaching.
Okay.
On street corners.
Sure. So he's got a street choir. Nice.
Some Italians are amused. Others are annoyed.
Oh.
One of those two ladies.
That's
is,
him up front?
Yeah.
Boy, he really, like, I mean, it feels like he's getting worse looking as we go further into this. He's just, and that's not much of a choir. He just found a bunch of children. He put, like, rose crowns on them and gave them some pool noodles. And look at the women around him like, oh, this guy can just get fucked. This
well,
is just...
No, one's Catherine.
One's Catherine?
Well, I don't know which one. They didn't know, but one's Catherine.
Well, they both look really into it.
Yeah, they're super into it.
She's like, oh, God. He's like, I told you, this would be good.
Well, the one on the right is just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. So
absolutely
this...
no indication which one is his wife.
Okay.
So August was also working as an interpreter for the local courts. So he makes connections with the higher-ups in the court system, higher-ups in town. He's very often very vocally anti-Catholic.
Okay.
He becomes a citizen on June 1916, and then they had a son in July.
Okay.
And then she died 2 days later.
Ah. Jesus Christ. What, is it him? Is he like the cooler?
Fuck yeah, it's him.
Everyone around him dies.
Yeah.
If he gives you love, you die.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Now, Milwaukee, like all other cities that had Italian immigrants, had anarchists.
Sure. Some are here tonight.
The Milwaukee anarchists were called the Francisco Ferrer Circle, named after the Spanish, you know.
Yeah, you don't need to tell me, but they might want to know.
The Spanish anarchist.
The Spanish anarchist. The Spanarchist.
When the U.S. entered World War I in 1917, anarchists and the U.S. basically went to war on each other. So Congress passed the Espionage Act, which made it illegal to make or convey false reports or false statements with intent to interfere with the war effort.
Well,
yeah. I could see some issues popping up.
I'm glad we don't have that anymore, yeah.
Or to cause or attempt to cause insubordination, disloyalty, mutiny, or refusal of duty in the military.
Boy, they really had us by the testes for a while, huh? They're just like, would you say you don't like war? Go to jail. But I...
Oh, did you say that guy shouldn't go to war?
Yeah.
Go to fucking jail.
Yeah.
Or to obstruct the recruitment or enlistment service, or to promote the success of America's enemies.
Right.
So they really
promote
got
the success.
It.
Right,
got
okay.
It all.
Right,
got
yeah,
it all.
Right.
So a bunch of anarchists and leftists start getting arrested.
Sure.
Debs, Goldman, Berkman, all these people are getting arrested. In Milwaukee, anarchists had meetings and lectures interrupted. Headquarters are being raided. They're being beaten.
Jesus.
Well, they're anarchists.
That doesn't mean they deserve a beating.
They know they're going to get beaten when they go in.
Okay.
They're like, I'm against government and religion. And
now how do you feel about us? Now how do you feel about us? Do you like us more now?
Also, an anarchist had been blowing shit up for a while, so people are scared of him.
Sure.
They're bombing stuff and doing their stuff. They're against it.
Uh-huh.
On August 26, 1970, August led 25 members of his congregation down to Bishop and Potter Avenue in Bayview.
Nice.
So this is like another very Italian area. For some reason, people were more concerned that he shouldn't go there. Like, it was like...
So...
Because he's going to go preach not being a Catholic, and they're like, that, maybe that's not an area you do it in.
Right. So he's picking, but he's picking places with Catholics.
Yeah.
To go tell Catholics to get out of the Catholic Church.
And then now he's
and
like,
people are like, you might want to do that in a place that's not full of Catholics. And he's like, well, my goal here is to actually convert Catholics. They're like, yeah. Have you thought about doing that in some of the Protestant areas? I think you'll find it's quite effective.
So it's a super Italian area.
As I look, I don't eat meat, but somehow that is the grossest looking meatball I've ever seen. That is just like Chef Boyardee would be like, get that out of the can. No.
That looks great. That's a spicy meatball.
This looks like dung.
So one person would hold the American flag.
Also,
and they would...
who's like, you don't put the sauce on the meatball. You put the meatball on the sauce.
The meatball.
It's a deconstructed.
He's a taking a bath in the
he's
sauce.
He's bathing, huh? It's like he crapped his meatball pants.
I need a ball and he need a napkin. I came out of his... Kim had a little hole in the bottom of it.
Hey, you stop talking now, okay?
A meatball, I got a diarrhea.
No.
So one of his flock would hold the American flag, and then they would sing patriotic songs.
So people would be like, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I like what's going on here. I love America. I like songs about America.
Yeah.
I'm going to go check out
well,
these cool cats.
Well, actually, they don't, because they're anarchists.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, so this is the anarchists. Okay.
Anarchists don't like songs about America. They're not into patriotism.
Why.
Turns out they're right on that one completely, 100%, huh?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This guy. Best country on earth, asshole. Name one better. Bingo. Oh, keep going. Well, keep going with the story. You had your chance, and you fucking blew it.
I was going to name them all. I was going to start at the bottom of Europe.
Too late. You blew it.
Okay.
Best country on earth.
Rwanda had a better COVID response. Rwanda!
What's their football team's name again? Fucking Jacob.
It's the Hutus, but... Well, that gets weird.
Yeah, you're taking it there.
Also, someone would play the portable organ, and
that's been my one complaint about the organ. Not something you can bring to events easily.
Just the guy pushing the organ down the street.
Yeah, just like you're in the Monkees intro. Yeah, just some guy who's just like, hey! Fuck this guy.
Two people played the cornet. 100 people gathered to watch.
Okay.
Augustine started speaking. He later would say he avoided religion and just focused on the war and pushing Italians to join up in the war effort. Now, listening, we're a group of anarchists, including Maria Nardini, who was sort of the leader of the group. And when the speech was over, the anarchists surrounded August and told him they didn't believe in government or religion, and they hated the state, the church, the laws, and the Pope.
And he's like, did you hear my songs? My songs are pretty clear. That is...
One said President Wilson was a pig and the flag was a rag. So far, I'm on board with all this. August offered to buy anyone who didn't believe in the flag a ticket back to Italy.
I mean, I would absolutely be able to call that bluff. There's 100 of them, maybe like, make him do that.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do it for everybody, but the first three people to raise their hands, huh? Holy fuck. You guys are really organized. Play the organ. We're going to walk off.
I want to go.
No.
I want a vacation to see my mama.
I don't think we can sustain this.
Yeah.
It's going to get so old.
So he tries to shake their hands at the end, and they passed.
Nice.
And then locals warned August he shouldn't come back to Bayview.
Okay. So the anarchists are like, fuck you. And then the locals are like, fuck you. And he's like, probably going to come back to Bayview. That went up pretty good.
Yeah, he came back the next week.
Right. So he's like, okay.
And they started singing Columbia, the gem of the ocean.
Oh, Columbia, the gem of the ocean.
So they start singing that, and then the anarchists arrive.
Do you know how it goes?
Oh, I had the lyrics, but I didn't put them up here.
Oh.
You know, it's Columbia, you're the gem of the ocean. Hey, mm-hmm. America, let's all fucking hold hands and then shoot people who are not white.
Very catchy.
Yeah.
I'm going to have that stuck in my head for days.
For sure. It's still a hit. I mean, you can redo it every couple of years.
Sure.
So they started singing what August called a vulgar Italian song.
Hmm.
Quote, "We fight the government, we fight the citizens, we are for anarchy." So now there's a huge crowd watching, and they heckle August. August said, they then threatened him, quote, "They told me you must not come down here anymore. If you return to Bayview, we will kill you. We have a lake here, and we throw you down in the lake, and we cut your heads off."
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like your order's pretty stupid. You're gonna need to have pretty good lungs to pull that off. You should cut our heads off and then put us in the lake. You foolish anarchist. You've not thought anything through. I'll see you Thursday. So they're being pretty clear.
They're pretty
straight. We are going to kill you if you come back to Bayview.
Yeah. Now, that's what August said, so who knows what the truth is.
Sure. Okay.
He did not get a warm response, though, for sure.
Okay.
So they leave, and he's determined to return.
Well, just doesn't sound like the right move.
So he goes to the police chief, and he asks the police chief for protection for when he goes back to Bayview.
Okay.
And then he goes to the Department of Justice and asks them for protection.
Okay.
So he's trying to get them to send as many men
right, to defend him as possible.
So he can sing his patriotic songs.
So he can go down there with his portable organ and keep singing.
Just like Jesus would have done.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So the next week, two cops walk with him, and then there's other cops in the area.
Okay.
This
two,
is the,
by the way, two's not like
two's not a lot, but there, but there's undercover ones around.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So this is the corner that they, it still looks the same. They say so.
It does.
It does. Yeah.
Says it looks the same.
You know what happens right here? Are you an anarchist?
Get her. Move up front. Tom. One up front. One up front. Move.
So Maria sees them coming. She's the leader of the...
of the anarchists.
And she shouts into a house, you know, and then all
they're coming, these fucking idiots back.
Fuckers are coming back. And then she's... a second later, she's marching down the street with between 25 and 50 anarchists behind her.
Okay.
And they come and they face off with the evangelicals. One anarchist starts to unbutton his coat, which apparently means...
I'm going to take it off.
We're going to...
And that is still true of today.
It still means it's hot.
It is the universal symbol for this is probably going to come off pretty soon.
It's a little warm out,
yeah.
Huh?
He's going to take his jacket off. That hat's next. He's got his fingers on the brim. Very good at reading body language. That coat's probably coming off pretty soon. Thank you, Darren. Let me know if you need any more.
So that means a fight's about to
begin.
His
lips are dry. He licked them. I'm 100%. He's got a sweaty bottom. He pushed his hand into his pants. And then he pulled his underpants out of it. Let me know if you need to know any more of this stuff.
I don't.
His eyes are getting dry.
You're going to keep...
That's why his lids are going down upon them.
So you're gonna
it's
keep
a way
going.
Of moistening his eyeball.
Don't say moistening around.
He's moistening
Don't say
his
moistening
eye-
in Bayview.
His eyes are getting dry, and if he were to not do that, his eyes would become raisins. Let me know if you need any more.
So I don't want to live anymore.
His legs are getting sore from standing. That's why he's moving them around a little. You see that thing he's doing with his mouth and his arms?
No.
And that... No. He's tired. Let me know if you need any more.
I'm very good, thank you. I
just
understand.
Let you know, I've really got a read on this.
What does it mean when you wink at me like that?
I'm looking to pork.
Into the van.
That's it.
Into the van. So when the guy starts unbuttoning his jacket, which means he's
about
gonna,
to. Oh, go ahead.
Which means he's going to fight. August told his flock to take off their hats.
Which we know is a big fucking deal. Like that, and then they're just like, what is he doing? We were just going to take our jackets off. He's going nuclear. The hats are off. Oh, my God. This is crazy.
One anarchist yelled, bullshit.
Bullshit. Put your fucking hats back on. It's fucked up.
Another yelled, coward.
Coward, put your hat back on, you coward.
And then one pulled down the whole American flag that was being held.
I thought one guy was going to pull his pants down. That guy's just like, who is looking to party? I'm actually not sure what this guy's doing. This is new. I love this guy's style.
Pants off!
Are we not doing pants off next?
We're doing pants off.
Okay.
So one of the cops says, quote, if you don't like the meeting, get a move on or keep quiet. A cop would later say that he went over to search an anarchist and then he saw a gun. Now, the anarchist said the cop started roughing up the anarchist. So we know that's the true part.
So it's a real he said cop lied.
Either way, all of a sudden, cops' guns were out, and one started shooting into the crowd.
Jesus Christ. So the tactics are pretty much the same as today.
Yes.
Make up a gun and then shoot people.
The other cop pulled out his gun and started shooting.
Another cop? Okay. Because he saw that the cop had a gun. He's like, this cop has a gun too. Shoot these people. A lot of these cops have guns. What's happening right now is... the cops are indiscriminately shooting people.
I just thought we were taking our hats off.
Yeah, it's a big escalation.
So the anarchists started shooting back, so bullets are flying everywhere. Uh-huh. August said he kept singing and the organist kept playing.
I love that. He's like, come on now, everyone, we should still have some fun. Come on, guys.
But let's be honest.
The Lord is unbelievable. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Fuck me, God is always looking out for you. We must run fucking quickly. He died upon the cross. Good Jesus, shit. Oh, my God, I've been shot in the back. Oh, the blood, I mean the blood of the body I'm draining. Oh, who lightheaded, whoa. I'm dying now. I'm for sure dying now. I'm alone. Everybody, oh, fuck my back. Ow.
The anarchist said that August ran for his life immediately.
Uh-huh.
So the shooting stops. One anarchist is dead. He'd been shot 4 times. 3 others were shot but still alive. None of the singing Christians have been shot, unfortunately.
By the way, that does not help their belief in this. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, he is so amazing. He chose to not have us shot. Now I'm 100% what we're doing is right.
What about the fact that you just being here is the reason people got shot?
It is all part of the Lord's mysterious plan. He lives up in the clouds, and he's got a big board game that's us. He's a man, just like us, with a big beard. He's like Jeff Bridges.
Two cops have been grazed.
Had been grazed?
Just grazed by bullets. Okay, not hit badly. The cops raid the anarchist's little clubhouse they have, which is basically just a room they rent in the back of a building.
Sure. The way you put it makes it sound like the Little Rascals hangout. Yeah, a little anarchist place. They got a dog with a black eye. It's a whole thing.
It, they, they kept calling it a clubhouse everywhere.
Clubhouse is amazing. It's taken on a different terminology.
Well, first of all, you're an anarchist. You shouldn't have a clubhouse. It just doesn't.
First rule, right. No girls allowed in the clubhouse. That's why we got curtains as a door. It's a clubhouse. Gotta climb the ladder up to the treehouse. No girls allowed. If mom's coming, ring the bell. It's the clubhouse. We don't believe in moms.
So they arrest several anarchists. Maria is arrested as the leader. More are arrested the next day. And then the district attorney.
I'm afraid you guys are in a lot of trouble. You don't know who you're fucking around with, okay? You picked the wrong guy to fuck with. Once my dad gets home, you are just in a lot of trouble. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
All right, so now onto your case. You guys are in a whole lot of trouble.
My body chemistry's changing. At an alarming rate.
So the district attorney had six anarchists brought into his office for questioning, and he used August as the interpreter, despite that
that's
being...
not good. They admitted that they did it. And they're not sorry, and they want to go to a jail for as long as possible. And they're wondering if we can use the city budget to put together an album for me? I guess because I got a bunch of newest songs? So crazy.
Yeah, so it's a slight conflict of interest.
Right.
Just a little bit.
What did they say, enemy of them?
So the anarchists say that he's lying about what they're saying.
They said that what they're saying is a true. And they're really impressed with it. So, pretty cool.
The cops also use August to interpret the documents found in the clubhouse.
Okay, so at this point, should the police potentially have an Italian-English speaker? Like, just on staff or something?
That's who they have.
Yes, but like one on the payroll?
That's their guy.
He is actually involved.
Yeah, earlier in the story I said he works as the interpreter for the courthouse.
A lot's happened. Okay, well, that's not great.
It's his job.
Well, it's not great.
I mean, there should be a time when they don't use him when he's involved in the crime.
No, this is good. This makes sense for sure. It's the Cactus Club now?
Yeah, well, the back room used to be the Anarchist Clubhouse.
Yeah. Do they have that when you go into the Cactus Club? Do they say this used to be an Anarchist Clubhouse? No, they're just like, no, it's Cactus. A cactus, which is known for being all over Milwaukee.
So the press said the cops had found, quote, a wagon load of anarchist literature.
Mm.
Just a fucking...
They so had... that could be like a radio flyer or like an old-timey horse and buggy.
One of the anarchists who had been shot died.
Okay. So two now passed away from that.
So they did an inquest and they said the killings were justified.
Of course. Always good to police yourself.
Yeah.
Yep. An internal investigation is what we call it. Right, right.
We looked into it and we killed some guys.
Well, we talked to ourselves long and hard, and it turns out we needed to do that.
Yeah. So some Italians told the press it actually had nothing to do with the anarchists. Everyone was just sick of August coming down and trying to ram his religion down their throats.
Uh-huh.
And the press didn't care. They just
stuck with it about
anarchists.
Right.
If you can imagine.
Right. Instead, it was just like an Oregon hate crime.
Yes.
Right.
The Milwaukee Sentinel headline was, quote, round them up.
Good. Good.
So the trials are set to begin the first week of December. And the week before, on November 24th, Erminia Spicati was working at the Italian Evangelical Mission as a cleaning woman.
Okay.
And she had her 11-year-old daughter with her. And at 10:30 a.m., her daughter saw a package wrapped in brown paper tied with twine between the church's wall and fence.
Where Santa always puts his gifts. Between the wall and fence.
That's right. So Armina went out to look at it. Armenia went out to look at it because, quote, my daughter thought there might be something to eat, so I went there for curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
So Armenia looks at it, and then they leave the church a few minutes later because they're done
Okay, but do they not? Okay.
Well, 4 hours later,
uh-huh,
Armenia comes back and tells the organist about the package outside. So he goes out and grabs it and takes it into the church basement.
I mean, if it's a bomb, they've done a very good, like, it's going really well if it's a bomb. They're, like, watching, like, Jesus Christ, he's taking it inside. We thought he'd just open it outside. He's like, we should take this to the base of it. You know, where the foundation of the building exists.
You have no idea what's coming.
It is food. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Armenia called the police at 5:30 p.m. So this is...
called about the package.
This is 7 hours later. She's like, by the way...
we found a present.
Who...
and the police come over and shoot it. And they're like, it had a gun. We saw a gun in the package's belt buckle.
It was brown.
It was...
So the cops say, well, we'll send someone to check it out. In the meantime, a choir member goes into the church to check on the furnace, and he sees the package.
Sure, as now, choir members do.
Over an hour has passed, and the cops still haven't come. So the organist asks the church member to take it to the central police station himself.
Man.
They know it's a bomb.
They do?
Yes. They know it's a bomb.
Who knows it's a bomb?
The organist and the choir guy.
They know it's a bomb, so they're like, we'll just take it to the cops. I'll walk it over there myself. Go deep! Okay.
So it weighs about 20 pounds.
Wow.
So he puts it on his shoulder.
What the fuck? This is someone who really does believe in God. He's like, it'll be fine.
Hey, Frank, what are you doing?
I'm carrying a bomb to the cops.
So as he walks down the street, he passes the cop who's on his way to the church to look at the bomb. And they didn't see each other. They just walked past each other.
Wow. A bus went by, like in the movies. No, well, I'm almost at the location. I can't wait to get my eye on this bomb package.
So he gets to the central police station.
Sure. Now I know it's true.
And the choir member puts the package on the floor near the desk of a sergeant and said, quote, this is a bomb. I found it under the church.
I'm sorry. You said it was... sorry. You said it was a what?
It's a bomb.
Right. What do you mean?
It's a bomb. It goes a boom. It's a bomb.
What's in the package?
A boom, a big bomb.
Sir, you're getting a little loud, and I'm not liking your tone of voice. Stop resisting. I'm going to say it right now. Stop resisting. Now, what is inside of this present you've brought to the police?
It's not a present. It's a bomb.
Don't make me get the translator in here. What are you trying to tell us?
It's a bomb.
You mean like it's a pastry?
No. I like a pastry, but it's not.
Stop resisting. What is the gift?
It's a bomb.
Who's it from?
The bomb guy.
And who's bomb a guy?
I don't know.
All right, what is this, like a who's on first? What is in the goddamn package, sir?
That's a bomb.
Get the fuck out of here. Stop resisting. We'll get the translator in here soon. He shoots pretty straight.
I'm a walking out.
Okay, go then. In reality, you probably stayed here though, right?
Okay.
Okay. So what did you do next? Why don't you walk me through that without resisting?
Two cops told them to take it outside.
Good police work. That's a bomb? We'll get it outside. All right. Anyway, like I was saying, the chair actually reclines.
Well, that's nice.
And your legs can go up, too.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like a bed chair,
oh,
which I'm a big fan of. I fell asleep in it.
Yep.
Karen left.
It's great.
She left about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So the house is just mainly beer cans at this point. But I'm hammered. I don't even really. Hey, look, a present.
Hey.
What the hell's that?
Before he could take it outside, two other cops.
Hey, where are you going with that, asshole? Stop resisting.
Nope. They asked him if he could translate for a different suspect. So he left the bomb and started translating. Remember when you thought it was stupid that they put it under the church?
Yep. That was before the police got involved in my defense, though. Okay, so he's like, I've got a bomb. And they're like, slow down, immigrant. Will you translate for these other immigrants so we can't... Put that down there. Put that down there, dumbass. All right, what the fuck is this guy saying? He's got something important to say.
So he's doing that. The chief of detectives said, quote, it looked like a big dinner pail and innocent enough.
Sure, for sure. We all know what a big dinner pail looks like. You know, when they give you your dinner in a bucket, it looked like a supper bucket. We've all seen that. You know, when you drop the bucket in the well and it brings out a steak and mashed potatoes with some veg. What you guys don't understand is at the time it was not irregular to eat your meals out of a bucket.
But the desk sergeant looked at it and thought it looked dangerous, so he took it into a lieutenant's office.
Hey, sir. This looks pretty dangerous. I thought I'd bring it in here. Well, that does look dangerous. You did the right thing. Let's poke it with sticks.
I mean, you try to make it absurd, but... He brought it into the lieutenant and said, quote, look at the new kind of bomb I've got.
Well, the hell? Where the hell did you get a bomb that big? Are you sure it's not just a meal in a bucket?
It's like a bucket bomb.
Interesting.
Or as I call it, chili.
All right. Well, I'm glad you brought it in here. Why don't we treat it like a whoopee cushion and just put our bottoms on it? A real Bronx cheer.
Okay, so the lieutenant is the first human being of the story because he said, quote, get rid of that thing damn quick. Don't fool around with anything like that.
What do you mean, sir? It's a bomb. Didn't you hear me? What are you freaking out about? It's a bomb on your desk.
So the sergeant took it into the squad room.
All right, boys. Now everyone gather around and listen good. Lieutenant's furious about me bringing this bomb into his office, so I'm going to keep it in here with us. Smart, smart. Thank you. What do you say we poke this thing with some sticks? See what's going on, huh? Are we sure it's not just lasagna and a big... It's not a bucket meal. I'm 90% sure. 85, now that I'm thinking about it.
So, right then, the detectives on the night shift are coming down the stairs after roll call, and they stop in the squad room to look at the bomb.
All right. A bomb, huh? Pretty cool. These things go off, you know. No way. Yeah, someone do.
It's the size of a half-gallon jar with a small bottle on top filled with an unknown brown liquid.
There are gravy. That's 100%
gravy. So the gravy goes into the big
It's a gravy.
Jar?
Well, it's a way, you know, people now, they're doing all this sort of stuff with food. Yeah. They call themselves foodies. Everything's foam now. I don't know if you heard about this. They're foaming everything.
Yeah.
But this is a way to probably heat the gravy. It's like a gravy boat, but in a jar. Mm. Candace keeps wanting to take me to one of these new restaurants, but they do stuff like this all the time. It's like, for me personally, just give me the gravy and a little thing. I'll pour it on there. But that's for sure some gravy. What we should probably do is put our mouths on it and taste it. Pass it around the room like it's one of those left-handed cigarettes those hippies are always talking about.
So, there are metal plates on top and on bottom of the package.
Mm-hmm. And that's still tracking with food for me.
One of the cops in the squad room looked at it and said they should put it in a bucket of water, and then he walked out.
All right, I'll see you guys later. Hey, we should put it in water. I'm late.
That's actually good advice because these bombs are usually dynamite, and that would actually work.
I mean, okay. That's so, pretty, very Looney Tunes.
But he did walk out after saying it.
We should eat it and let it go off in our stomachs. I like what Hank's talking about. That sounds pretty good, too. That way we can taste the gravy part of it. You're not thinking like a cop. You're thinking like a citizen.
Now, at 7:33 p.m., the Sergeant Deckert, had the bomb between his legs and was unwrapping the paper. Now, we
what kind of animal do I look like when I do this? When I run around the room, look like I'm wagging it. All right, let me just put this near my genitals and let's get this thing opened. There we go.
Now, the reason we know it was at 7:30 p.m. is because that's when the bomb exploded.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Sergeant's dinner just popped. Was it a bucket meal? Uh-huh.
The explosion was heard for miles.
Oh, so this cop's baby makers are
no
just...
There is no more cop.
Oh, okay, right.
There's
but he died from a penis explosion.
There is literally no more cop. That cop is no longer...
He's gone. He's dust.
He's cells.
They put him behind bars. Yeah, okay.
It's full of screws, bolts, heavy, sharp-edged pieces of metal. It's designed to shred people.
Between his legs.
It kills a bunch of cops.
Okay.
Dead were a civilian woman, a police alarm operator, 7 detectives, the sergeant.
Jesus Christ.
None of the sergeant's body is found. He finally was identified by the stripe on his trousers leg.
Okay, that is obviously a lot of people who died, but who the fuck is like, that's his trouser leg? Put the sheet back over it. Don't make her keep looking at it.
I'd know that stripe anywhere.
I'd know that stripe anywhere. He was the only one who shopped there.
A local paper quote, there is an unaccounted for foot at the morgue, which...
Do you really need to get the foot ID'd? Is that really where we... That's his foot. I'd recognize it anywhere. It went right in that trouser leg, it did.
There is an unaccounted foot at the morgue, which some think was Sergeant Deckert's, while others claim his feet were not so large as this one.
I don't think you need to bring... You know what I mean?
We need someone to ID the foot. Why? Because... I mean, what else are we going to do? Okay. Interesting.
Well, it might not be him. He might have gotten out of there.
Mm.
So.
That's.
I don't know. That's a pretty big foot. Decker had like a smaller feminine foot.
Interesting. Let's get the sketch artist in here. Now, you say it was a feminine foot. You mean it didn't go very wide? It was a bit more of a narrowed foot?
Yeah, it was like a...
What would you say? It was a man's 7, man's 8?
We called them lady foot around the...
Get an APB out on that foot. I think it's still on the run.
Hey, buddy, is this one match?
No.
Oh, that's a black guy.
Yeah, so... Too soon.
Too soon. The Milwaukee Journal, quote, glass, plastering, clothing, arms, legs, papers covered the floor. A cap from an officer's head hung on a broken bit of glass in a side window.
Oh, wow.
From the ceiling swung loosened planks and the 2 blackened chandeliers. The Journal had...
So it wasn't a dinner.
It was not. The Journal had headlines like, body of Deckert is blown to bits. The wedding ring blown from the finger and detective's watch blown from pocket.
I mean, we get it. They blew up.
Pocket watch gone from pocket. Change missing from pants. Fingernails separated from digits. Everything that could be removed from another thing was removed. Hair off of heads.
Eyebrows off of face.
Foreheads.
Foreheads.
Nipples no longer attached to bodies.
They got a pile of nipples down at the morgue. They're trying to figure them out.
Yeah, we're really playing go fish with these nipples, I'll tell you that much.
No, Decker's nipples were bigger than that.
Just doesn't make sense. Every time I think we're close to finding Deckard's nipples, they throw us another goddamn curveball.
Wait a minute.
What? You got something?
No, we got 11 what? Dead people yeah. and 76 nipples.
Where's Ed Gein?
Officer Gein?
I brought some from home that I thought we could use as...
Belt.
Huh?
Belt.
Belt?
I'm saying you should make a belt out of nipples.
Oh, all right. That's a great idea.
So cops start rounding up Italians. They're just like, let's get the Italians.
Every Italian is a suspect.
Arrests were made also as far away as Seattle and Omaha. The FBI believed the bomb was connected to the shootout and that Milwaukee's anarchists were linked to Chicago's. Some speculated that the bomb had been meant for August, who was to be a material witness in the trial next week.
Okay.
Also, I assume, the interpreter.
Right, yeah.
They said I'm not a guilty. You're not on trial. Oh.
The cops told August to stay hidden, stay out of sight.
Now, here's where he didn't.
A Milwaukee congressman wrote to the FBI about Italians, stating, quote, a nest of them is planted in this city.
Oh, it's a hive.
It's a nest of Italians.
They're making honey for the queen.
August told reporters it had nothing to do with religion and was only about patriotism. Quote, there was no disturbance until I announced that the audience would sing. So he's talking, they're questioning him about, and it's all going back to the shootout.
Uh-huh.
There's no disturbance until I announced that the audience would sing America. Some of the men seemed to go crazy. They shook their fists at me and showed their teeth and cursed.
Well, you have to show your teeth to curse.
Fuck you!
Oh, boy, this escalated. They opened their mouths to do it.
Yes, yeah, so fine. And then
the hats are off. The hats are off.
I see the teeth. Oh, yeah. The teeth are out. Milwaukeeans, is that right?
Sure, whatever you want to do, bud.
They didn't care that Italians rounded up and now sitting in jail were completely innocent, just that they were Italian.
Yeah.
Newspaper editorials wrote that it was the right thing to do to arrest the Italians. There's now about 80 in jail. None are charged with bombing or really anything.
They're just charged with being Italians.
Yes.
Right.
Police kept a tight lid on the investigation, though one captain said he had an accurate description of the man who was, quote, the brains of the anarchist activities in Milwaukee.
He was Italian.
The anger in the city wasn't helped by the fact that all the dead cops had wives and kids, which the papers really hit hard.
Right.
Just kept fucking
right.
driving it home. Some wanted an Italian vigilante group who would be loyal to America to form to take care of business in their community.
So an Italian vigilante group being a group of anti-Italians who are vigilantes.
A group of patriotic Italians.
A group of patriotic Italians to go kill Italians.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds like it could be pretty, there could be some infighting in that group.
Huh?
You know what, I think we should stay. You son of a bitch. You.
What?
You. Us. Me.
No, you.
You're all of us.
No, I'm a spicy
meatball.
See, we overcome.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That was a close.
Well, so a close, but we have that one thing we talk about.
No.
The mayor disagreed about this vigilante idea, saying the chief of police had discussed doing this for years.
He's wanted this way before Italians were enemies.
And they didn't think it was the way to go. Quote, I don't believe the Italian people themselves can find a remedy. Milwaukee's on the edge.
Jesus.
And then a package arrived at...
No! Another dinner bucket. No, Sergeant. What?
It arrived at August Giuliani's house.
Oh, God.
He wasn't home, so a neighbor signed for it and then put it
the neighbor? In... Who the fuck is the neighbor? Oh, he's going to be excited to get this. Who doesn't love a package? August is just like the rest of us. A present's a present. That's what I've always said. Boy, feels like there's a lot of nails and screws in here. He must be doing some home renovations. Say, there's no return address. Is that odd? Ah, whatever. Give it to me. I'll hold on to it. Just put it in my crotch here. Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, it's like a thigh master. Really got to squeeze it nice and hard. Oh, that actually feels pretty nice. I haven't had a lady over in a while. You don't need to hear this. I'll just go inside by myself. I've got one of those chairs that reclines and your feet goes up. I've got my night planned. Hopefully he doesn't come back till tomorrow. Know what I mean? Package on a package. Mmm.
So a neighbor signs for it and puts it in the basement, and other neighbors then start freaking out.
What are you worried about? It's just a package for a guy. It's in the basement, Looney Tunes. Relax.
Yeah, I took care of it. I put the bomb in the basement. Some want to throw it in the river, but then August came and opened it.
What?
It was a, quote, fat Thanksgiving goose.
Okay, so... Who the fuck... I have 85 questions, but I'll just go to a couple. Who is... Okay. Who's mailing geese? We'll start there.
The Gooseman.
And then after that, who in the climate of the moment is like, I'm going to send a package to this guy?
That's... Yes. Why?
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 Why? Why not be like, I'll drop it off?
Yeah, I'll drop it. Yeah.
And if you're him,
or take
if you're him,
go, this is a goose.
If you're him, you're like, a package that looks like it could be a meal. This rings a bell. What is it? Oh, goose. Mmm. That's gone through the mail.
Oh,
still
male,
good.
Male goose are the best gooses.
Mm-mm. Mm.
They ripen over those 3 or 4 days.
Mm. That's good goose.
So the mayor gave the cops...
Did you get my goose? I'm going to start mailing geese. This is rotting. Happy holidays. Did you have a good Christmas? It's a goose for you. Did you get the meatloaf with the gravy I mailed you? For some reason, it didn't make it here. Damn postal service, that fucking DeJoy. He's ruined the whole thing.
So the mayor gave the cops $20,000 to investigate the bombing. A lot of people besides anarchists hated August, but they only looked at the anarchists.
Sure.
The public really wanted the Italians in jail to pay. So the trial for the 11... arrested for the shooting began, and the defense asked for a change of venue, which was especially needed because the police had said they'd connected the 11 defendants to the bombing of the police station, which was a complete lie.
Right, okay. So the juries would be soured, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
But Judge Baucus denied a change of venue. The prosecutor was a socialist who would switch to Republican in 2 years.
The judge was interesting
known,
move.
Yeah. The judge was known for very swift justice. The journal said he would often put criminals in prison, quote, for a lengthy term on the very day of arrest.
Okay. And that seems quick. But it's, does it?
It's very quick.
Uh-huh.
So the prosecutor several times during the trial said Italians were threatening witnesses with gestures. He said they were biting on their thumbs, which was a great threat among Italians, and he put an Italian detective on the stand who testified that indeed biting your thumb was a threat.
That's right. It's a horrible thing to do.
I looked it up.
There is a thing to Shakespeare. You used to bite your thumb at someone. So it's like a fuck you.
From CNN, quote.
Oh, well, we know it's reliable. Brian Stelzer's on this one. As a human meatball... Let me tell you what this means.
What does it mean when an Italian bites their thumb? The bitten hand is then used to make a chopping gesture in the air. This might look as though it indicates hunger, but in fact sends a message of impending punishment. It stands for, if I catch you, you're in deep trouble, I'll hurt you.
Wow. I wonder if ASL's kept that. So it's like this and this? It's a thumb bite and a chop, you said? Right, okay.
I think.
It's a little overt. Like, if you saw that, you'd be like, they're all doing it. I feel like there is something going on here. We all have the same tick.
So pretty much every objection the defense has is overruled by the judge. The defense attorney and prosecutor are constantly arguing, and at one point the defense attorney threatens to punch the prosecutor in the face.
Sure, as one does, which is great. That's great. I would like that if I was a defendant. I'd be like, I like this fucking guy.
Yeah, this guy's my guy.
Your Honor, permission to punch this piece of shit in the mouth? I want to see where this goes. Sure. Your Honor.
The district attorney office stenographer testified...
What?
The district attorney office stenographer...
Well, what I was going to say was... This is hard to do at the same time. The day that... I've never had to do this before. It's so meta. The day that you are questioning me about is actually more interesting than you have even laid out, she said. I think I'm writing a first-person novel. She'd been sleeping poorly lately. She wondered what that was due to. Maybe it's that she missed Kevin still.
Ma'am?
He'd left about 2 months prior.
Ma'am?
He said he'd be back soon. He was going to go try out for some baseball teams.
Ma'am, can you answer the question?
I am answering the question. Was there more going on? Question mark? Was this something to do with her? Question mark, question mark? Well, that was a story for another time. She was on the stand with a grumbly tummy. Yes, she'd had some Eggs Benedict that morning that didn't look quite right. But she still knew something just wasn't right.
Kent, yes, you won't?
Chapter 2.
The DA office stenographer testified that during the DA office questioning of the defendants, quote,
all I want to do.
Questions and answers were interpreted by Reverend Giuliani truly and correctly. Never mind that the stenographer spoke no Italian.
Okay, so she was lying when she said that. Miss! What? Sorry. Okay, so she's like, yes, he absolutely was translating properly. And do you speak Italian? Not a word. I abhor the language, to be frank. Hate Italians.
The Sentinel reported the jury found the trial boring and informed an orchestra. Quote,
What? Is that fair to do?
With Jim Beal on saxophone, Herman Schultes playing...
What is happening right now? I'm sorry. Wait, will you go back a touch and just say what you said again? The news is reporting
what? The Sentinel reported the jury found the trial boring and formed an orchestra.
I didn't know that was a jury option. That would really change jury duty. And you have no prior knowledge of the case. And can you play the stand-up bass? I can. We would love to have him in the band, the jury, sorry. The band jury. And you know how to play a jug? That's right, I can play blowing the jug and make a hoo sound. This guy's perfect for the band jury too. We really think of the jury more as a recording group.
Quote, with Jim Beal on saxophone, Herman Schultes playing the jailhouse piano, and John Stepniewski on concertina.
Is this distracting to anyone else? Because I have some requests for the band. You guys are unbelievable. Do you know she's a grand old flag? 2, 3, 4.
So the defense attorney tried to explain to the jury what anarchism is. And obviously that didn't work.
Right.
He's like, it doesn't mean violence. And they were just reading literature and learning what it was. And one defense witness said he had spoken at the anarchist clubhouse the day of the shooting, but he had not talked about violence during the speech. And he was then arrested as he got off the stand.
What?
Because they were like, well, you were there, you fucking anarchist.
Wait, I didn't know. No, I wasn't. I lied. Shit. 2, 3, 4. He's the best in the business. This guy's unbelievable.
three more...
Your Honor, we request a recess until we can find a percussionist who actually knows some of the songs.
Oh, come on.
You lied. You're terrible. You have no rhythm. Christ.
Three more anarchist defense witnesses were arrested the day after they testified.
Bullshit.
Three other Italians were arrested when they tried to bail out one of those guys. So they just...
These jails. Thank for God these jails are large. Yeah. That's...
In his closing arguments, the prosecutor brought up repeatedly that they were anarchists and that anarchists had just assassinated President McKinley. So the judge just let him just say all this shit, which he clearly shouldn't have.
There you go. Keep going. I have some notes. Read some of this stuff.
The prosecutor also brought up that the police station had just been blown up, which should not have been able allowed to be.
Right, because it, right.
Judge says nothing. So on December 20th at 8:20 p.m., after the jury deliberated for 17 minutes, they found
all
11 guilty.
And we have 15 new
guilty.
Songs. We have what we call a concept album. Oh, interesting.
Can we announce the verdicts with music?
I would have it no other way. Well... Not yet. Not you're a little trigger happy with that one.
They were found guilty of conspiracy to assault with the intent to kill and murder, even though there's zero evidence.
Mm-hmm.
They had all been convicted due to the bombing.
Right.
So everyone got 25 years.
Jesus Christ.
Now Maria and her husband were both convicted, and they had a 5-year-old son.
Also convicted. Shut up.
But I don't know what anything is.
Well, and that did not work in your favor, little man. You're going to jail.
Well, family members wanted to take him in. They had family members around, and
sure.
They wanted to take him in. But the judge sentenced the boy to 25 years in an orphanage, which meant he would have to stay there until he was 30.
30? What the fuck kind of crazy shit is that? That is like... That's like the beginning of Elf. Hanging out in an orphanage, like, when do you think you're gonna find a pop? I mean, I don't know. At this point, I have 4 kids of my own, so I'm sort of like, the fuck is the idea here? It's fucking crazy.
Your Honor, are you sure you don't want to reassess that?
I'm not reassessing any math.
Keep it up, and I'll give him another 5 years to that orphanage.
That's it. You stay to the orphanage till you're 40.
50. Keep going, buddy.
I didn't say nothing. I just didn't understand what you
60.
What?
60 years old, you get out of the orphanage.
Let me tell you a little story about the outside orphans. It's not all grueling lashings on the outside. I was there when I was about your age. And now I'm an 85-year-old orphan just hoping that some of these parents want to take me home with them. Unfortunately, I'm normally twice or 3 times their age. No matter what little outfit I put on. One of these days, I'm hoping to have someone want to take a senior boy home. I'm just talking to a pile of hats. I'm not even sure what... the point of all this is anymore.
We'd like that one over there.
Gadzooks, it's showtime.
An inquest was held into the bombing. Again, August was the interpreter for the Italians.
And they said they didn't do it.
Now, this is big news for all anarchists. They're all very upset. Emma Goldman wrote that August was working with the cops, quote, framed by an ex-priest and members of the police department of Milwaukee. She believed the cops and Department of Justice had gone to entrap the anarchists, not to protect August. So anarchists everywhere are fucking pissed. In 1918, Emma Goldman goes and gets Clarence Darrow.
Oh, whoa, Clarence Darrow. It's fucking go time. I just got adopted by a loving family.
She gets him to appeal the case to the state Supreme Court. Donations from anarchists came in to pay his $5,000 fee, and the court overturned...
I love lawyers. Lawyer, just like, this is on principle insulting. Once my fee's paid, I'm on board. But...
The court overturns the conviction, except for the two guys who were armed and did shoot.
And the orphan.
And the orphan. Well, because his parents get out, I assume he got out of the orphanage.
That would be amazing.
Nope, you stay.
But they're out. Well, you gotta wait until you're 80. Okay.
So those two guys are still in, and as soon as everyone's released, the Department of Justice arrests them because they're gonna deport them all.
Right.
But the judge releases them for custody until they're deported. So before the judge let them go, he asked each if they plan to become citizens. The Sentinel, quote, some men shook their heads while Pasquale Nardini said he would first find out whether you should buy a house or go back to Italy.
Hmm.
It's the weirdest.
Yeah.
So
depends on the property.
I guess I'm going to see what the property taxes are.
It's a great answer. You may go.
Most decided to get the fuck out of Milwaukee.
Why? Seems like a really great place to be for them.
And then they started getting arrested on deportation warrants. Some were arrested in Chicago, and a Chicago paper reported they had been convicted in connection with the police station bombing, and they had planned a radical uprising on the day they were arrested.
So just fair, balanced journalism.
Yes.
Right.
The two Italians who did not have their convictions overturned were just getting the business in prison. One had 75 infractions in 18 months.
Jesus Christ.
He finally snapped and attacked a guard and was declared insane and moved to the hospital for the insane.
Great move,
at
probably.
Wapping.
Well, wow. So this is when mental health was a thing that we looked for and tried to cater towards.
Yeah.
And clearly they're burning some of the mentally unstable due to the enormous fucking smokestack.
Throw another insane one on the fire, Bobby. It's getting cold.
Oh, no problem. I mean, look at the size of it. It's like the fucking Capitol.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Jesus Christ. It's like at a separate building. You're going to what we call building two. Say your goodbyes. No, leave your stuff. You won't need it in building two. Why is it so much smaller? Well, shut the fuck up. Get into building two.
Now, on April 16th, 1918, two bombs were placed on the sides of the prosecutor's house at night while he, his wife, and two sons slept. One bomb was the exact same as the one that blew up the police station. The second bomb had a fuse that was lit but that went out, and it was probably because it rained right after the bombs were placed.
So, okay, so the person was... Well, in a way, it's kind of like a good base cover. They're like, I've got the one cartoony fuse bomb, and then I've got the other one that just needs to be shaken around a bunch.
And... Yeah, and I assume if one goes off, the other one would go off? Like, I don't know how that works.
Sure, probably.
Or
although,
one
depending
goes off,
on...
and then you run inside, and you're like, presents! And
yeah,
you open
and then
the
you're
other
like,
one.
This is probably one to help us with that first bomb. Open it up. I think it's a Christmas goose.
A neighbor saw one package and called the prosecutor, and then the cops came and took the bomb.
Don't mind us. We're going to handle this bomb. We know exactly what we're supposed to do. We'll take it to headquarters where we'll put it in every single room in the building. And then we'll place it around and we'll dance around it for a minute and we'll tap on it while we do the hokey pokey. Hold on, let me finish. We're police. Then when the time's right, one of us will put it on our dick. And he'll start to open it like he's the lucky boy who just got his Christmas stocking. At that time, if it's a bomb, it'll go... No, yeah, it'll go off and we'll all... Yeah, and then the circle of life. You understand.
So the cops took it to an open field and put the bombs in tubs of water.
Smart.
But the cops had to keep telling gawkers who wanted to see the bombs to back off.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it's a real bomb. Take a look at that fucking thing, huh? I'll tell you what, a souvenir of that's probably going to be worth a pretty penny one day. Guys, we remind you to stay far away from the bomb.
Oh, come on, man. What is it, fucking freedom or what? Are we in a free country?
Why do you have a scuba outfit on, sir? I was just thinking maybe it might be a good time for me to go swimming around in the bomb bucket, or... What are the rules? Nobody has told us the official rules of this game. It is not a game. Well, then why are we all here trying to get in the bucket? Like, Tom's in the bucket now doing the backstroke. Son of a bitch, how did he get in there? Gentlemen, the bar's been set quite high.
Sorry, the orchestra's here.
That's a pretty good idea.
So, we were thinking it might be a good idea for some of us to eat the bomb.
No. What the... Do you guys know what a fucking bomb is?
Have you ever seen the pool game? Let me finish. Where you put floaties on a little basketball hoop? Would it not make sense for us to form two teams of four? Let me finish. And get in the tub, and then we shoot, and first to 12 is allowed to open the bomb underwater. What about if we play Marco Bamo? I'm just saying, I think we could make a day of activities out of this event. Could be nice.
Chicago sent a bomb expert from their anarchist squad.
Hey, we don't need no fib over here. Pretty sure we can handle this internally in the state. But I'm one of the best bomb experts in the Midwest. Yeah, relax, okay, pal? Big city, windy city, you don't know how it works here, okay? Our bombs are a little different in this area, okay?
He determined it was the exact same as the police station bomb. Now, the prosecutor and his top assistant, who, remember, they think they've convicted the guys.
Yeah, but now for sure. They put the guy, the serial killer in jail, and then there's another serial killing, and they're like, God damn it, this isn't good.
Now, the prosecutor and his top assistant, who had gotten the convictions of the 11, were continuing to receive death threats. So they went to Chicago to meet with Clarence Darrow with an offer. They asked him to talk to the Chicago anarchists to get them to call off trying to kill them. And if they did, the prosecutors agreed to fix the record on the appeal so the convictions of the 11 would be reversed by the Supreme Court.
So basically, they're saying if you anarchists stop threatening us, we'll let the other anarchists out.
Well, basically the two. I put 11, but the two guys that are left.
Okay, right.
So the two guys are in jail. Right. So they agree
really.
To this.
So the moral of the story is keep threatening the cops.
Yeah.
Right.
So they
or the prosecutors.
So Darrow agrees. So he meets with the governor. Darrow ends up meeting with the governor, and the prosecutor and judge both agree the men should be released. And then the governor commutes their sentences.
Okay.
The governor, however, started deportation proceedings while the government started deportation proceedings while they're still in prison. So they're still going to get...
So they're still going to be deported, but they're going to be released. Yeah.
What, they probably don't want to fucking be here anyway.
Yeah, no, that's honestly, you're just paying for their boat ride.
Most of the anarchists were deported.
Unfortunately, we do not want you to be in this city any longer. that's a cool...
Some of them returned to the U.S., like Maria... Some of them stayed, even though there were deportation warrants out for them, and just kept living in the U.S. the whole time.
Sure.
A fund was created to take donations for the widows of the cops. And by the end of 1917, there was $28,000 in it. But in January, the widows had only received $1,500 each. The police department was holding the rest of it. $14,000.
It's evidence.
Because city officials were arguing over whether or not they should get it if they were getting a pension, even though it's donated money.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, I just wonder if we could figure out how to be more awful.
We were thinking we could put it towards a tank. That's a pretty good pitch. That's a pretty good pitch.
A new group was created, the Italian Federation, to help new immigrants and show them how to be good American citizens.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. I mean, it would be great if we had someone showing us that now. How to be good.
August claimed victory of the whole thing, and he said he was not the target of the bomb.
Right, except for all the evidence, right.
He told the Milwaukee Journal, quote, I have no fear and will continue my work in the Milwaukee church as before. Many people have remarked that my safest course would be flight and seem surprised.
But I can't fly.
And seem surprised when I said I would remain. I do not think our enemies will resume work soon. I think they are now living in terror of exposure for the disaster which has brought indignation of the country upon their heads.
Man, I'm really hoping there's one more bomb coming. Like one more one more package dropped out. Now I feel like, excuse me, I'm going to open this Christmas gift.
Now, the guy who planted the bombs was never found.
Hmm.
But there are two dudes. An historian, Paul Avrich, believes anarchist Carlo Valdonosi and Mario Buda were responsible. They were not from Milwaukee.
Because they signed a letter in the package?
Yeah.
Sincerely,
a Mario. It's a Mario.
No. You know who it was? A Wario. 100%.
They were anarchists who wanted revenge for the killing of the two anarchists by
right.
the cops.
Right.
And they blamed August and the cops. They had experience with bombs, and Buddha was connected to the same type of bomb in New York and would later
be
seriously connected to, in 1920, bombing a Wall Street and other shit.
This guy.
So there's a good chance. There's a good chance the Italians who were arrested and deported were literally just reading and talking about anarchism, but angry that there was an anti-Catholic preaching in their neighborhood, like
right.
all the other Italians. August Giuliani never stopped preaching.
Damn it.
His church had 135 members, but in the Italian community, he was ridiculed and called a clown. Many thought he was a police informant. Because he's clearly a police informant.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was like, there's a lot of evidence towards that, yeah.
In 1922, the husband of a former parishioner filed a $15,000 lawsuit against August for, quote, depriving him of his wife's love and affection for nearly 3 years.
Meaning he was...
He's banging her.
Yeah. I guess you couldn't come up with, like, I'm suing him for banging my wife. He's taking all of the bang out of her bang tank.
Your Honor, he made her come.
Your Honor.
I can't.
As much as I try.
Bishop investigated and cleared him. The prosecutor decided not to file charges against his own interpreter, who he publicly called a hero. In 1923, August was driving down Murray Avenue when a motorcycle with two riders pulled up alongside. The passenger jumped on his running board and tried to beat him with a club.
Jesus Christ.
Worst car attack ever.
Yeah. There's better ways to handle it.
Is it the fucking road warrior? Like,
yeah,
what are you
yeah.
doing?
Please roll down your window. No. He said no. Well, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. We'll be back.
August crashed into a car. The attackers fled. He'd received threatening letters before the attack. Months later, the roof and tires of his car were slashed. In the next 10 years...
Roof slashing.
Yeah.
That's right. You're not going to be able to... Well, I'm not sure why we're doing this, honestly.
In the next 10 years, he would be assaulted twice more. He finally died on November 23rd, 1929. Until 9/11, the bombing was the biggest mass death of cops in the U.S.
Holy shit.
Which, they didn't target the police station.
Right.
That
no,
could
they
not
charged,
have gone
they,
better
right,
for
right.
what they wanted.
Right, yeah. They put it in a church. They're like, we'll show them. And then
yeah.
they were probably like, wait, what the fuck is going on? You killed a lot of cops. What? You killed a lot of cops.
That
How?
Was the plan?
Yeah. How did you know that they would take the bomb from the church to the police station?
Well, I knew they'd put it in the basement.
Yeah, but just to have that foresight.
But then I also know the cops take a long time when they get a call.
It's
and so
still
I knew
amazing.
That they, I know choir people. Like, I know how they think and how they act. And I knew they'd be like, we shouldn't leave this here.
Right. But still, to think that they would take it to the police station.
But then I knew they would because...
But then you would think the police would... How did you know the police would handle it so poorly? It's just all very well put together.
The police are really dumb.
You were 8 steps ahead the entire time. I mean, honestly, this could have just gone off outside the church and nobody could have been hurt.
Do you want to see my diagrams?
Absolutely.
I got the whole thing diagram. Look. Bomb down the stairs.
Wow.
Walk it across.
And that's a coyote?
That's a coyote.
That's amazing.
Cop goes the other way.
Sure.
Put it in the... near the sergeant, then into the other room, back up of the room.
And what is that
room.
Bucket with all those meats falling out of the side of it with the...
What is that? Why did I put a meat bucket there?
It says dinner. Dinner is served, it says. It's very interesting.
I don't remember.
Very well done. Well
Thank
thought
you.
Out.
Thank you. Police recruits are still told about the 1917 bombing. In 1992, one cop said the only thing he was told about it was, quote, don't bring bombs into police stations.
I'd gathered that one, honestly, sir, but it's good to know it's a rule.
After the bombing, the police changed the protocol for handling suspicious packages.
That's right. You open it outside. Not in your crotch. We came up with what we call the crotch cloth.
We're pretty certain Buddha did it, because there's other like people associated that were carrying stuff. And,
right.
Like,
but they just wanted, you know, heads on pikes, so they just went with what was easiest and quickly to prosecute. Capitalizing on public sentiment and, you know, using
all that. They didn't
even
arrest a bunch of more anarchists and just blame it on them also. They were like, we got them.
Yeah, right. Which is, I mean, what doesn't happen anymore, which is comforting.
No. Sources, the Milwaukee Police Station Bomb of 1917 by Robert Tanzillo, Milwaukee Magazine, and... the research paper, Milwaukee Bombing, Worst Loss, Police Life Until 9/11.
It's a good title. A
lot more in 9/11, like 42 or something.
Wow.
I didn't keep track.
Fucking crazy. Yeah, it definitely feels like we still, you know, there's still a lot of similarities today, where...
It's never changed. They'll always do that. They'll always grab a guy that they hate to...
Just blame it on...
I mean, it still happens all the fucking time. Like, you just arrest some guy and go, you're the guy.
You did it.
Yeah.
You fit the description. Non-white gentleman.
Non-white.
Yeah. I was hoping that this would sort of at some point divert into the sausage race at Brewer Stadium, and that was kind of... But you went the non-lighthearted direction, unfortunately. That'd be the story of the Italian sausage. Oh.
Yeah, that didn't...
Do you know the seeds of that story?
I don't need to.
It's a pretty interesting story. Bernie Brewer was actually... Someone didn't bring his charging cable. No stinker. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. Truly. Thank you. Love you. Thank you. Yes, it's Gareth, not Gary, stop it. Gareforce, listen, I've got a bunch of stand-up shows coming up, and I want to see you there. We can hug. I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Then I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, June 18th. I will be at Nashville, Zanies, June 19th. I will be in Huntsville, Alabama, June 20th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 21st, June 22nd. Then I will be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, June 26th, then I'll be in East Providence, Rhode Island, June 27th, then I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston, June 28th. That's two shows. I will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, June 29th, Rochester, New York, June 30th, and then July 5th through the 6th, Canada, I've heard your prayers,
and I will answer them. I will be in Toronto. So come join me at the Comedy Bar. Go to GarethReynolds.com for tickets and information. That's right, Garrett Force. We're calling you up. It's the big time. It's the big leagues. This went poorly.